Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 19 again tonight. I want to look again here. Last week we were over here in Luke 19 and talking about Zacchaeus. And I want to go back and relook at this again and revisit it and add some more to it. But it says, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, he saw him, and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he made haste and he came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and he said to the Lord, 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 I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Man, I'm glad to know that Jesus came to save the lost. I'm glad to know that he came to save some wretch like me. Amen? And the story, what the Lord was bringing out last week is about Zacchaeus was, is that, you may know this, you may not, but his name, Zacchaeus, if you look it up in the in the Greek, and you study his name actually means benevolent giver, well-doing, or to do good. And so here's this man, his name is, I'm painting this a little bit. His name's Do-Gooder, right? And Do-Gooder is the tax collector and making his wealth off of overtaxing people. And he's the chief tax collector. And he's short in stature, and he's probably got a chip on his shoulder, and he's probably not a very nice guy, and he has got problems with people. But something pricks his heart. One day, something, in knowing that Jesus was coming to town, pricks his heart, and he wants to see Jesus. But he's got a problem. There's a crowd of people. He's short, and he can't see. Can't see over the crowd. So he goes and he finds a tree and he climbs up in it. Now, you know, can you just imagine if you know a wealthy person that you went by and they were climbed up in a tree trying to see something, you'd say, that's an odd sight. Right? You know, just climbed up in a tree. The point is the extremity that Zacchaeus did to see Jesus meant that he had to put it down his pride. He had to set everything aside. Because he found something in life that was more important than what he had. I don't know what was going on in Zacchaeus' life. I don't know if everything was great or everything was terrible. I don't know that if he was a drunk. I don't know if his wife had left him and his dog doesn't like him and whatever. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. We don't know what drove Zacchaeus or if anything drove him except hearing that Jesus was going to be there and wanting to see who Jesus was. But that stirring on the inside of him that caused this rich man to crawl up in a tree to do something so absolutely abnormal to his behavior. In doing that, to see Jesus, he's, just get this scene, he's hanging out of the tree, he's looking, and Jesus walks by and he looks up. Now, we know that Jesus knows everything. And I believe with all of my heart that the Bible says that Jesus, that he formed us in our mother's womb. He created us and he gave you potential. He gave you purpose. He gave you gifts. He gave you who everything that you are in life. He had that in you and he knows everything about everything. And he knew that day that he had an appointment with Zacchaeus. He just got to the point and then stopped and looked up to see if Zacchaeus made the appointment. Right? And so many times God's calling us and he's drawing us and he's speaking to us and those windows of opportunities are coming open for us to walk through. But are we hearing God's voice? Are we being entangled with the affairs of life and entangled with everything else that's going on that we miss the tree that we're supposed to climb? Now, Zacchaeus climbed up that tree somewhere from the time that he climbed up the tree and saw Jesus to the time he hit the ground, he got saved. Because when he gets to the house, he's willing. He says, I'll give half of everything I've got to the poor. Well, who told him to do that? Nobody told him to do that. Nothing but 100% conviction upon his own heart that he was supposed to do something good. Right? Or was it that when he got from the tree to the ground, that he got saved, and then he finally knew who he was? The do-gooder, the benevolent guy, the benevolent person, the man he was really called to be, the person that he was really destined to be, that he was created and formed in his mother's womb. All of a sudden, he stepped into his true role in life and said, my God, I've been collecting all this wealth for the wrong reasons. I'm supposed to be giving it to the poor. So half of all I got, Lord, I want to give to the poor. Y'all following me here? I don't know about y'all, but I want to step into my destiny. I want to walk in my destiny. I don't want to walk in somebody else's shoes. I just want to walk in my shoes. I just want to walk to be who I'm called to be. You know how you have these mugs that they, you know, I mean, they got a lot of different things, but you got mugs, coffee mugs, and they have your, like your name on it and what it means, you know? And I remember one Christmas, we're sitting around our table, Christmas or Thanksgiving, something at my family's house, and I only have one sister, and she's older, picked on me all my life. I'm a doctor, I'm Dr. Richards, and she's just Nurse Richards, that's what I always tease her. She's an RN, and I always tell her, I'm the doctor and you're the nurse, just remember that. And so she was sitting there, and somehow or another, I got this cup that had my name on it, and it said, no, I'm trying to think of what the name, what it even said, something like, Mighty Conqueror, Robert meant Mighty Conqueror, and so I was like, okay, Mighty Conqueror, and my sister just said, I wonder what my name means, and I said, you know, it's funny, I looked that up, I said, it means one who always comes in second. And she didn't like it too much. But anyway, the point is we weren't named like that in heaven. You know, the Bible says when you get to heaven, you're going to get another name. You may have got a name on earth that you don't really like, but that's not really the point here. The point is the name, the spiritual name of who you were, what you were really called and created to be in your destiny. And Zacchaeus' name, it had something to do with money because he was supposed to be a benevolent giver, but he got part right. Right? He was dealing with money and he was rich, but he didn't have the giving part. And that day when he came down the tree and his feet hit the ground, something happened on the inside of him. It was like he stepped into his destiny. The person he was, who he was really God called to be. And when he stepped into it, changed him. We in this day and hour, I want to tell you something. You don't need to be worried about who somebody else is. Remember the story of Jesus when we had the disciples and after his resurrection, he'd come back and Peter asked what was going to happen to John. And he says, that ain't none of your business. Don't worry about John. John, you know, I'll take care of John myself. But this is the day and hour that we need to be finding out in life who God called you to be, what he's called you to be. Now, I want to tell you this. You have probably hit part of it. Because somehow or another, just we have an ability on the inside of us that what we're called to do in life, we sometimes get part of it right. Zacchaeus, supposed to be a giver. He was dealing with money. He was rich. Got part of it right. Because naturally, you're going to gravitate to what is stirring on the inside of you, whether you realize it or not. So the good news is you can't be all wrong. Hello? Look at the person beside you and say, I don't think you're all wrong. Right? You just may not be all right, but you're not all wrong. And I'm telling you, I'm kind of sidestepping here, but I don't really know what's going on in the world right now, but there's some strange things going on in the world right now. There's some very, 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 very strange things going on in the world right now. I have no great word of wisdom to tell you about it. I just know some strange things going on. I've called all my preacher's friends, talked to them, said, hey, what do you think's going on? God speaking to y'all about anything? No. No, don't know anything. Just strange things going on. Things are shifting. Things are changing. I'm just telling you. It's not a time to be messing around. These are not days to be messing around. These are days to be finding what God's destined us to do and called us to do and do it with all of our heart. Amen. Walk in everything that he's called us to do. Be all that we can be for Jesus. Amen. Zacchaeus, when he stepped into this thing, he something happened to him. He sort of become the person that God had called him to be. Now look over in Romans chapter 11. Let's move on here. Romans chapter 11. What are y'all doing over in that section? Jim, did you do that? You're making the lights go out, huh? The glory is fading over on that side. It's prophetic. Romans chapter 11 and verse 29. Scripture you may know, quote a lot. The gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable, or the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. That word irrevocable means it's actually, in layman terms, he's not sorry he did it. That's why it says if you read King James, it says that, you know, that he's not going to repent of it. In other words, he's not sorry he did it. The gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. They're not going to turn around and go back because he's not sorry he's done what he's done in you. Philippians 1 and 6 says that the good work he started in you, he's going to finish. And so if he started good work in you, he's going to finish the good work in you. But he's not sorry that he called you to the good work or called you to be who you're going to be. And he's not going to turn. He's not going to change. He called you to be that person, and you're going to be that person. Even if you think, well, I should have been something else. You know, I know that something happened to me and I should have come out and turned out to be something else. Well, in you thinking you should have turned out to be something else, you actually turned out to be just who you're supposed to be. Because God didn't make any mistakes. He gets you to the place you need to be. He always gets you to the place you need to be. Because he has those windows of opportunity I talked about. I keep opening up and keep coming through, then you keep walking through them, or you keep coming up with it every life. No matter where you are, those windows keep coming up. When you step through that one, then you go on to the next one. But it says, be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Or he is not, that's Philippians 1 and 6. He's going to complete everything he has in you. Go back to Romans 11, 29. The word gifts in there is the word charisma. It's a word we hear a lot, charismatics, charismaniacs. Charisma, the gifts of God. But it's not just the gifts. Now listen to me. It's not just the gifts, like the gift of speaking in tongues or prophecy or teaching or administration. It's not just the motivational gifts or the gifts of the Spirit or any of those kind of gifts, the fivefold ministry gifts. It's that he is looking at you as a gift. Now, there may be people in life that think you're not a gift, but you are a gift. You're a gift into this world. And the gifts, and then the word there for callings, it literally means callings. It means the invitation. Pick up the phone and say, hey, Come on over. The invitation. Who he created you to be, what he put in you, and the invitation he gave you, he's not sorry you showed up. He gave you an invitation, but then it wasn't like he said, "Oh, God, I hope you don't show." Right? He gave you an invitation, and he's not sorry that he gave you an invitation. And the invitation is this. The invitation is to do just what Zacchaeus did, is to enter into the kingdom of God and become who you're really called to be in him, in Christ. Amen? It's to take the step into the kingdom of God. That's the invitation. He says, "Man, my grace is sufficient for you. All I want you to do is accept the invitation. I've already placed you as a gift. You are a gift. I've placed gifts in you. And I want you to just simply come into the kingdom. And when you come into the kingdom, I'm not sorry you did. I'm glad you did. And now I'm going to work with you. And you're going to be the man of God who you claim to be. Or I called you to be." I don't know about y'all, but excuse me. It gives me great confidence to know that I got invited to the party, and I was wanted to be there. I was wanted to be there. Somebody wanted me there. And the one that wanted me there is the one that threw the party. And you sit here today because you got an invitation. But the invitation's not just to come to the party. The invitation is to enter the kingdom of God and then let the Spirit of God work in you to become everything you're supposed to be. So you're like Zacchaeus. As soon as you enter into the kingdom, boom, something starts happening. You start becoming the person you're called to be. You start moving and start doing it, start flowing and start doing the things that God called you to do. Hello? That's a great place to be. It's an exciting place to be, to know you're in the kingdom of God and you're welcome. You say, "Well, I don't deserve to be here with Peter and Paul." But you are. "Well, I don't even deserve to be on the same floor as they are." Well, you may not be, but don't make no difference. We're all in the kingdom. I am so glad that, you know, that I'm from Texas. I've said this before, but I don't know everybody in Texas. A lot. I'm glad I'm in the kingdom of God. I may not know everybody in the kingdom of God, but I'm glad I'm in it. I rejoice to know that no matter what's going on, this craziness that's happening in the world right now, I know where I'm headed. Amen? I mean, I got that one down. I don't know. You know, I don't know if y'all are like me, but a lot of times, you know, you listen to the, you know, I mean, first of all, they're telling you buy gold, then they're telling you this and buy this, and then buy that, and then you do this, you need to do this, you need to prepare this, you need to buy food, then you need to buy seeds, then you need to buy water, and then you need to get a shelter, then you need to do all this stuff. And I'm kind of like, man, I'm just glad I know I'm going to heaven. I'm happy with that. I'll sort the rest out. But I want to major on that. Does that stuff ever, y'all ever know what I'm talking about? You kind of get it, and all of a sudden you're like, "Oh, God, what?" And I'm like, you know, I'm just glad I got the most important one done. You know, I'm glad I'm not still back in the pig pen alive, eating pig's food, wishing I was at the Father's house. I'm glad I came home to the Father's house. So I want to encourage y'all tonight to take confidence that even though there's troubled times, even though there's crazy things, take confidence to know that he's called you, he's gifted you, he's called you into the kingdom. He's not sorry he gave you an invitation. And so now it's time to be all that you can be for him. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. Praise God. Well, ushers, help me tonight. If you need an offering envelope, one of the things I want to show y'all, is that we got these daily devotionals in the back. They're on the back doors there and whatever. This is something that Miss Laura wanted to do and saw, and we got this put together for you. So take it. It's a daily devotion. It means every day you have to have a devotion. It means you're devoting something, and you're devoting is time to read the devotional. Amen? Why do we have rubber boots on the front, though? Is that what that's for? March, April, May is the season of rain, so they put rubber boots on the front. All right, let's go. Put your hand on your offering, let's pray. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for your hand upon us right now. We thank you, Lord God, for the ability to give. We thank you for blessing businesses and finances. And Lord, I just call in from the north, the south, the east, and the west, all the finances that we need to operate in our lives, our family, this church, the orphanage, and everything else that's going on in life, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.